Sixers lock all windows and doors. Adam Fisher, Temple University head men's basketball coach. I like it. How'd you get here?
Well, first off, thanks for having me, Mark. It's an honor to be talking to you today. And, you know, growing up, listening to you call games, you were the best. You were on TV all the time in our house, and you're still a legend in the Fisher household.
Appreciate you. But by the way, don't ever grow up. I mean, come on now. You're coaching basketball. Listen, I know it's hard work, but listen, I was on TV and involved in basketball. You're involved in basketball. What a gig, right?
It is. It's great. And my family and I are super excited to be here at Temple. You know, obviously, grew up in Bucks County. So this is a dream job to be this close to home, and had a lot of different jobs along the way, a lot of different stops, some amazing mentors, unbelievable student athletes that, you know, I always think we're here because of them. That's why we have jobs, and, you know, they play well, makes us look good. They play bad, it's probably our fault as coaches. That's how I looked at it. So it's been a great path, but super excited for this chapter.
Talking about your path, it kind of reminds me of Lawrence Frank, who became an NBA head coach and really didn't play a ton of organized basketball, certainly above the high school level. And that's true of you. How did you get here?
Well, it started out, you know, I was not a good player at Central Bucks East High School. Was probably the kid who dove on the ground, loose ball, took charges, tried to be the hardest worker. That's how I prided myself, and had a great coach. Derek Wright was there, Coach Wright, Jay's brother. So that was great experience. Then from there, I knew I couldn't play, but I wanted to coach. And I knew that early on. I think in like third grade, I wrote, you know, I want to be a coach when I'm older. And went to be a manager at Penn State, and that was a great experience. Jerry Dunn was the head coach for 1 year. It was great to learn under him. I still stay in touch with him. And then Ed DeCellis was the coach, who is someone that's really close to me. We're actually going to play Navy this year at Navy, so that'll be special for me because he's someone I still call. Anytime I have big decisions, I say, Coach D, need your help, and he's just so insightful. Then from there, was lucky enough to become a graduate assistant for Coach Jay Wright. Two pretty good years, a Sweet 16 and a Final Four. I'm like, this is easy. This is how it works. And, you know, it was just a great, great experience. And you just learned so much. I was a sponge there. And, you know, you had guys like Brett Gunning and Pat Chambers and just unbelievable guys. So was super excited to be around them. Then from there, went to be a director of basketball operations for Coach Chambers at Boston University. And then from there, went back to my alma mater at Penn State to be, I think the video coordinator was first, then director of player development. Then someone told me there's warm weather. So I got connected to Coach Larrañaga and spent 8 years at the University of Miami, and just the greatest mentor I could have asked for. And then the last two was with Coach Shrewsbury back at my alma mater as the associate coach at Penn State. And it was just such a fun run we had, and just great. Great young man. And, you know, Coach Shrewsbury, he's unbelievable. He built it quickly. And he taught me that you can have a family in this industry and win and do all these things. So grateful to him.
A lot to cover here. I'm going to go back to Penn State. Of course, that job eventually became open. Jim Larrañaga, who's just a tremendous basketball coach, and what you may have learned from him. But let's stick with the Temple vibe for right now. You're the sixth Temple basketball coach since 1952, starting with Harry Litwack, who I remember when I was a lot younger, Don Casey, John Chaney, Fran Dunphy, Aaron McKee, and now you, all with Philly roots. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a special place, and it's, you know, the city of Philadelphia is just such a unique sports town, right? Pro sports, everything. I mean, I would say it's a blue collar town. They want to see people that work hard, and they want to support it. They're passionate. It's unbelievable. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I think when you have that in you and you know a little bit about it, you take more pride in it. Like, I take pride in the Big Five. That's something that's, I've already spoken to our team about. Like, that's something that's really special to me. I'm going to treat that like it's an NCAA tournament game. Mm. And that's just from growing up. And my dad taking me to games, and you're watching that, the competitive nature. But then you also have great respect, right, for all those coaches. And we do a lot with Coach Versus Cancer. And you know, see Coach Dunphy, I always tell him, like, you know, I was so happy when him and Coach McKee knew my name on the road. They called me Adam. I was like, Aaron McKee and Frank Dunphy know my name? But you got to have that. I think it's the history. I think if you know the history of Philadelphia and you know the history of Temple basketball, that's really important for this job.
You're a first-time head coach. What do you need to discover about yourself?
You know, I think I can't get too high and I can't get too low. And I've had great mentors show that to me. And I think it's believing in yourself. You get to this point and you have so many ideas as an assistant, but you always are like, all right, I get to pass it over one more seat. Now you're the guy sitting here and right. You have your ideas. Your staff has their ideas. So I think taking that all in, and I want to enjoy it, Mark. I really do. I want my family to enjoy it. I brought my daughter to practice the other day and she walked around with a whistle. She was my assistant coach, 2.5 years old. Like I always said, if I got this point, I'm going to enjoy it. And that's how I've treated my whole career. I'm going to have fun, but we're going to work hard. And I think some people think you can't do both. And I disagree. I think you have to enjoy, you said it, we got to get to coach basketball. Like, it's got to be fun. It's got to be exciting. And I want my family to be a part of it. They sacrificed a lot so I could be here. I want them to be a big part.
But you know what, Adam? Having not done it before, everything or a lot of it is going to be new. I mean, like, how do you comport yourself with the referees and communicate with players and, you know, sit somebody down when they're not playing well? I mean, all the things you have to do as a head coach and dealing with academics, I mean, it goes on and on. How do you feel about that part of it, the fact that everything or a lot of it is going to be first time for you?
Yeah, you know, I think it's your mentors prepare you. And I really do. And, you know, Coach Wright, Coach Larnega, Coach Shrewsbury, Coach Chambers, they prepared me for this. And those guys give you a lot of responsibility so that even though it is the first time I'm in the seat doing it, I've been a part of a lot of meetings where things have come up. A lot of my mentors have let you work with athletic directors, work in the community. So you get to do that. Look, there's going to be times in the game this year, it's going to be new, you know, calling a timeout and taking a guy out, like you said. So that's going to be some trial and error. And I told the team that, hey, I'm going through this just like you guys are, but we're in it together. And as long as we all buy in and you kind of know what we're trying to do. So I think there's some excitement to it. And I also, there's some pressure. And it comes with that. And you got to make these decisions. And luckily, I have some good connections on speed dial. And I've called Coach Larnega often already since having the job. And I told him, keep your phone here, Coach. I'm going to have some more as the season goes on. So that stuff helps.
How many texts did you get from coaching friends who are looking for a job once word got out that you were the Temple coach?
So we took a screenshot because my wife couldn't believe it, but we got up to, I think it was 768 text messages I had unread. And I joked with it that it's a third of it's family and friends congratulating you. A third of it's people asking me for a job. And then the other third is asking who's Coach Shrewsbury hiring at Notre Dame. So it was right. Trying to figure out who's who. And Coach Shrewsbury gave me the best advice because I was overwhelmed. The phone went crazy and we had already committed to going to the Final Four to support Coach Larnega and the Miami Hurricanes. So we got the job on Wednesday night, met with the team Wednesday night, and we already had a flight weeks ago booked for 7 a.m. out of Philadelphia on Thursday. So we had gotten the job, got a ton of text messages, went to Rally House, so I had some Temple clothes to wear at the Final Four. And Coach Shrewsbury said, don't get overwhelmed. Respond to everybody between 2 and 4 a.m. This way, nobody will respond back to you. Right. So at first, I thought he was joking. And he was like, no, Fish.
It seriously makes total sense.
He's like, do it. So I was right up. It was 1:45 in the morning. I just started going away at the text. I stopped around 5 a.m. We went to the airport the next night, did the same thing. And within about 3 days, I tried to get back to almost everybody.
You're a terrific recruiter. I mean, that's implicit in some of the players who, you know, played for Penn State and Miami. But what do you think the key is to relating to today's kid? They see the highlights. They want to dunk. They see what they see on social media. And yeah, I mean, you're okay with some of that, but you want guys to defend. You want guys to get loose balls, you know, the kind of stuff that helps you to win. How do you communicate that to today's kid?
You know, It is a challenge, right? I think it starts with having a great staff. And I've been lucky to be a part of some unbelievable staff. Because we team recruit. We're going to do that here at Temple. So you get to know everybody. And I think you just got to be yourself. You know, I tell the guys all the time, I make fun of myself. They'll say, do you know this rapper? And I thought it was a food. I'm like, no, I didn't order that at the restaurant. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then, you know, they'll say, hey, you know, Highway. And I'm like, no, I took 76. Highway's a rapper. So I like you learn and you got to make fun of yourself. That's what I tell them. I'm like, this is who I am. But I think you can relate by showing them you care. I don't think that ever changes. I think if your players know you care about them, they'll relate to you quickly. And I think that's what we've tried to do. We really tried to be connected this summer since I've gotten here with taking the team to the Phillies game. It was a great experience. And we had a mini golf indoor tournament. We had a whole draft and a trophy presentation and the guys just had fun. And I think they need to see you outside of basketball. And that's what it's about for me. It's more than basketball. I want these guys to be great fathers, great role models, great husbands. And that's something that we take great pride in by hiring a staff that is that already to be great mentors.
Larry Brown was always famous for saying you coach execution and not effort. Do you go along with that?
I agree. And I tell our team all the time, that's the price of admission. You got to play hard. I can't coach energy. I can't coach effort. Let us worry about the footwork. Let us worry about some schemes. But to play at Temple, you got to play hard. You have to compete. And that's a given.
So last year, you're at your alma mater, Penn State. You're the associate head coach. You and Micah Shrewsbury, who's the head coach, you have a great year. You win 23. You go two rounds of the tournament. Then he goes to Notre Dame. You would be a natural. You're a Penn State grad. You're part of the program. You know the system, all of that. Why don't you get that job instead of, who was it? Mike Rhodes who got the job, right?
Yeah, Mike Rhodes is a great coach, great track record. He's going to do unbelievable things at Penn State. I'm excited to watch them. I think I had a conversation with them, and they went in a different route, which I totally respect. And I was already talking to Temple at the time and was really excited about this. And, again, they had to make a decision. I made a decision. This is where I want to be. I was excited to be at Temple, and I'm excited to see what they do at Penn State. But right now we're just focused on Temple and being here and getting this back to where we want it to be.
You were a graduate assistant at Villanova under Jay Wright. What's the key to his success? I mean, I love that dude. I think he's a marvelous teacher of the game. He's won titles. He's turned out NBA players. How does he do it?
He's the best. I mean, it's...
But what makes him the best?
I think it's his ability to relate to everybody. His ability to adapt to the players. And it's his ability to get them to buy in. He has a system. He has a program, and he's built it. And it's just incredible the way he motivates guys. I always say he's so specific. He's going to motivate you differently than he's going to motivate me because he knows what makes me tick and what makes you tick. I think that's special. I don't think that's not something a lot of people have, but he has that gift and that ability, and he makes everybody feel great. You play with great confidence in his system, and his ability to recruit early and just connect with everybody in the family. You mentioned it. It could be a third cousin, and Coach Wright's going to meet him for the first time, and you're going to think they're best friends. And but it's genuine. Like, he means it. That's what makes him so special. And I joke, I got my master's there, but I really got my master's in Coach Wright in basketball. And it was nothing better than watching him do what he does every single day. It was incredible. And a lot of what I learned back then, being young, you don't know when it's going to help you. It helps me now. These last 3 months, I'm doing things and I'm thinking, wow, Coach Wright did this. I'm going to do it like that. And that's really been a big part of our success early here.
Adam, the last 4 years, Aaron McKee was the head coach. I love Aaron McKee for so many different reasons, starting with the time that, you know, he was at Gratz and played for the Sixers, of course, who remain now as a special advisor. How's he going to help you?
He's been great. Anytime I go to call, he answers. I ask him a lot of questions. I think he's a legend. I think I want him around our program. I want him to talk to our players. Because I think this is a place that's special. The former players make Temple this program. The former great coaches make this program. But we've been inviting all the former players back. And he's just someone I call and say, hey, coach, how'd you do this? Coach, how did you do this when you were a player? Why did you pick this? And things of that nature. So he's been a great resource. I had gotten to know him before I got the job. And I had called him prior to getting the job too. I want to make sure he was okay with me trying to get the job, and he was, and he was awesome. I'm so grateful for everything he's done and will do throughout this year and coming years.
You're back where you grew up. Would it have been better to get your first head coaching job somewhere else where maybe you didn't face some of the pressures that you might face in your hometown?
You know, I think you're looking back at, you're starting to hire a staff. This is where all my roots were. So that was tricky. You know, a lot of people in this area, but I'm excited. I want to do it in front of my family and friends. I've been away for a while. I've had great support system with my mom and dad, my brother, his whole family, and my wife, Rebecca's family, all in this area. So I'm excited that they get to be a part of it. You know, it's, I always joke that the press conference was for them. I wanted them to enjoy it and be excited about it. So maybe been easier to be somewhere else. Yeah. But I wouldn't want it any other way. I'd want to do it right here in this city.
Recruiting, Adam, what's fertile territory for you?
I got to win our backyard. I think this is, as you know, who's been around the game a long time, there's so many great, talented players right in our area. And we've got to identify guys early, and we've got to make sure they know Temple's the sexy choice. You hear that sometimes in recruiting. Oh, this is a bigger school, this and that. But as you know, when Temple basketball is great, the city is awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to get guys to know. This is going to open up so many more doors than just basketball. The people, Temple alums like yourself, great Temple ambassadors, that's what this will open up for you. And, you know, I think we got to win here, but we also have a national brand. We can't be afraid to go to places that our staff's coached and worked at in years prior and try to get those young men here. So, but it starts right here, right in our backyard.
Name, image, likeness. How does that all figure now into recruiting?
It's there. It's there. It's not something you can shy away from. It comes up often. It's something we're working on. And I say this all the time. We're not where we need to be right now. It's a work in progress. We have the Temple Tough Fund. We're working through it. But it's like everything in life, Mark. There's a change, and you either got to accept it and figure out how to work with it or fight it. We're not going to fight it. We're going to embrace it. We know it's here. The transfer portal, same thing. We know it's here. We've got to figure out how does it help Temple. And that's what we need. And we've been reaching out to some of our alumni and explaining it to them, because so much is education. For so long, you have boosters saying, I can't do this, I can't do this. Now we're saying you can. And it's changing how they think about what you can do and what you can't do. So for us to remain competitive, especially in our league, we need our NIL to improve. And we've been working on it every day since we've been here.
All right, Coach, it's halftime, and I have a couple of segments for you. The first is I'm going to ask you to choose between two things, and I want you to blurt out the answer. I don't want you to overthink it. Just blurt, okay? You ready to blurt?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. It's going to be quick. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Red or blue?
Red.
Dogs or cats?
Cats.
Rock or rap?
Rock.
Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Vanilla.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Plain or peanuts?
Plain.
New school or old school?
Old school.
Maximum or minimum?
Maximum.
I don't know what any of that means. I just like to throw it out there and give people something to think about. All right. Music library. I'm going to give you a handful of artists from my music library. You tell me if you have them. Ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Elton John.
Yes.
AC/DC.
No.
Biggie Smalls.
Yes.
Esperanza Spalding.
No.
Jazz artist. Genesis.
No.
Classic rock. Who's your go-to? Like you just won by 20 points. Everything's good. Your team's on a roll. You're on your way home. You want to crank it up. What are you listening to?
Billy Joel.
Like it. No, that dude's awesome. He's
every morning too. Billy Joel.
Like it. When'd you first pick up a basketball?
I'm going to say probably before I can remember. I think my dad was putting a basketball, baseball in our crib. And I had an older brother, Scott, who I know when I was old enough to start walking, he had a basketball in his hand. So I used to try to take his and would go cry and tell mom when he'd take it back from me. So as early as I can remember, there's always been a ball, a bat in my hand.
Why was that? Why was sports so big in your family, do you think?
You know, I think my dad grew up in Philadelphia, huge Eagles Sixers fan. You know, we had Eagles season tickets back in the day. So I think it meant a lot to him and his family. And I think that was his way of passing it down to us. And he never forced us to play, but we always wanted to. And he coached all my teams, all my brother's teams while running a restaurant. And so he's my earliest mentor as a coach. I always wanted to be like him. And here I am. And a lot of what I've learned and I'm using now is because of him when he coached me.
So is the restaurant that old Warrington Motor Lodge that doesn't exist anymore?
That's it. And, you know, my brother went in that industry. He was a GM at Cheesecake Factory for about 20 years. He recently got out of that. And everybody thought we would take over the family business. And I told my dad he worked too many hours, so I didn't want to be a part of that. I did not realize that college basketball is more hours. So I wish they would have told me that early on. But how he was able, and my mom worked there, my grandfather and my uncle. It was just an unbelievable place. Our whole family was there. And every day at noon, Mark, if you had nothing to do, the family ate at 12 o'clock. It could be two people or 20 people. And that was something that's really special.
Mm-hmm. You make the team at Central Bucks East. What kind of player were you? Did you get any time?
A little bit of time. I recently saw some stats in my childhood bedroom when I was, that's kind of been my home right now. So in between moves, and they weren't good. So I'm looking at them. I think it was 4 for 20 something from three. So the day before I was yelling at our team because they didn't shoot the three that well. And I thought, wow, I didn't either back then. And I was a pass first, try to be a point guard who just played hard. And back then I knew get the ball to the good players. So I think that concept still exists. But the one thing I always try to do is it was an off-season hard worker award, and I always try to get that. Mm. That was something I took pride in. I wanted to be the first guy in the gym, be the last to leave. It didn't translate to my shooting percentage, as I told you, but that's something I prided myself on.
What about the Sixers? What are your earliest Sixer memories?
Wow. You know, you grow up and you see all the highlights of Dr. J and stuff before your time, and, you know, I look back, probably the most excited guys when they make the run in 2001.
Right? Yeah.
So you see that. And again, grew up watching Aaron McKee, Allen Iverson. I was actually on an airplane when I first got the job coming back from recruiting. A guy sat next to me and he said he was Allen Iverson's brother. And out of his briefcase, he handed me an autographed picture of AI with Kobe guarding him with the authenticity. He said, here's the authenticity too. So I just had that frame. That'll be up in my office soon. But nice. I thought that was cool. Like I was like, man, I grew up AI. And but that team, and it just was the grit they had, right? You look on paper and you're just the toughness they had. It was just so fun. That was probably my earliest of like really getting excited about the Sixers. You know, I watched them all then, but that time was great.
Yeah. So you were a teenager then, Adam. For those who might be teenagers now or in their 20s and never really experienced that 2001 team, describe what Philly was like when they made their run back all the way to the finals.
Just excitement. Just pure excitement. And everybody came
remember all the flags? The flags that the cars were flying?
Everywhere. You're honking your horn. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was like being at a tailgate just all over the city and the suburbs, because I grew up in the suburbs, and it was just incredible the way it spread and the way the whole area came together. It was just awesome, you know, and I think that's Philly. Like, it's just that support, and I think they supported, obviously, because you're winning, but the toughness they brought, mm-hmm. the hard work, and I think they related to so many of those guys on that team as just regular guys that just came in and competed.
I know you don't want to coach the Sixers from the Temple campus. Certainly that's Nick Nurse's job now, but what does Joel Embiid need to win an NBA title?
I think it's coming soon. And I think the first piece, you know, coach, you know, Doc, I have great respect for, and I think he did a great job. I think Nick Nurse will come in with a little bit different energy, some different schemes and systems, which I think will help him. And, you know, I think Joel's just unbelievable talent. And player and his personality, it fits everything. So I think you add a few correct pieces around him, which they've done, and the Sixers have done an amazing job, their ownership team, everybody. So I think it's close, and I'm excited to be in the city while they do it. So I think it's coming, and I can't wait for the parade right here.
Yeah, you think it's coming that soon, huh?
I do. I believe in them. I am. I'm also maybe trying to get invited to a game courtside too. So, you know, same thing here.
Yeah, there you go. What are your thoughts about the pro game as it relates to or compares to the college game? Obviously a different game played by grown men, many different rules. Do you like the pro game now as it's played?
I do. You know, working for Coach Shrewsbury, who coached with the Celtics for 6 years, and his mentor is Brad Stevens, he really opened up my eyes to a different approach to the X's and O's. Mm. And he took an NBA approach. So even in 2 years, we start using here at Temple the terminology, because of the 2 years I spent with Coach Shrews, the NBA terms for a lot of things, the spacing. And I just think it's just an unbelievable sport. And again, obviously I'm biased, but like watching the NBA, the best in the world, compete, you know, especially the playoffs. Everybody talks about sometimes regular season. I still think the regular season is great, but the playoffs, it just goes up to this level of intensity, and you see it. It's really something awesome. So we watch it a lot.
You mentioned introducing NBA terms at Michael Shrewsbury opened some eyes as it related to NBA X's and O's. What from the pro game can you possibly incorporate into your coaching?
You know, the big thing is spacing. You know, I think the spacing on the floor was something that was really important. And I think Micah showed us that. And even just two steps to the right or two steps to the left, what that means. So a lot of that, a lot of the defensive system stuff he took from the Celtics that we used at Penn State while I was there. And we're going to implement some of that here. And I think it's a different game. So I want to be clear on that. I do think it's different, but I think the spacing and taking the best shot, the first best shot that's available. You obviously have a shorter shot clock, but you know, I think sometimes in college we wait and we pass up too many good shots early because we think, oh, we got to get the defense to move. If you're open, shoot it. That's going to be our mentality, shoot it. And if you miss, shoot it again.
So you say if you're open, shoot it. You know, a lot of times NBA guys will come down, you know, 1-on-4, and they'll stop at the 3-point line and shoot. Are you an advocate of that?
It's not how we're going to play. You know, I will say we kick ahead and we got a wide open transition three, shoot it. You're bringing the ball down transition and there's a 5-man on you and he's in a drop. You're starting to come off, shoot it. But 1-on-4, yeah, I've seen that in our practice a few times and I have not encouraged that shot in practice. But, you know, we want to have a lot of ball movement, a lot of touches, but I think the spacing and still taking that best shot, and that means the right people shooting it, the being open. And, you know, we show our guys all the time, contested versus uncontested. Look at the numbers. So take the easiest shot for you because it's probably the best shot for us as a team.
Sounds like pace is important to you. Do you have that kind of team where you can play with pace?
We're going to try. We're going to go back to your original question about, you know, first-time head coach. We're going to try it. Some trial and error. Our practices, you know, NASCAR, I say. We're NASCAR. Boom. Let's go to the next thing, next thing, next thing. So we try to do it at a quick pace so that they're prepared to play quickly. I want to fly the ball up the court. And if we see that's not working, we're going to adjust. But we want to move at a quick pace. And you got to be sprinters both ends of the court, offense and defensively getting back. So that's important to us.
Are you impatient by nature? Like you want it to happen now?
I do. I think having a young daughter has really brought that down for me a little bit. I've learned a lot to be a lot more patient, my wife tells me, since we've had our daughter. So I think a lot of our student athletes will benefit from me having a 2.5-year-old.
Talk to me about defending. Obviously, it's to me, it's the most important aspect of the game. Are you a man-to-man guy? Do you like to mix it up depending on the opponent? What are your thoughts in that regard?
Our staple is going to be man-to-man. We got to be great man-to-man team. I'll try to steal some possessions and we'll mix in some other things when need be. But we got to have a solid base and a system so that no matter who we play, this is how we guard this. This is how we do this. And then when it gets to scout specific, we can be a little bit more detailed through it. But, you know, you look at the NCAA tournament and, you know, you figure out who you're going to play on Sunday night. So quickly you begin prep. You might play as early as Thursday or Friday. You win that game. Your turn is like that. And I always think that teams that have a system in place defensively advance further. Because it doesn't matter what the other team is going to run. This is how we guard a flare screen. This is how we guard the ball screen. This is how we guard a stagger. I think having that with a quick turn is just so important.
So boilerplate, but be prepared to ad lib off the boilerplate if you got a great player or that sort of thing. Maybe you need to switch. Maybe you don't want to switch, that kind of thing. And you got to hope that they're paying attention.
That is true. That is very true.
What makes basketball the best game of all the sports?
you know, I think it's the ultimate team game. I think it's just exciting. You got five guys out there that are competing. And then I always tell our guys, then especially in college, you have usually eight guys that are on scholarship that are on your bench. They have to be just as locked in. And then it's their turn to go in. And I always think, you know, if you get off to a great start, you sub, you got to have the mentality, I got to push this lead up. I got to bring it even more than those guys. I just think it's the ultimate team. It's the ultimate communication. It's so much life skills on the court, right? You got to talk to one another to be successful. It's just fun. It's exciting. There's so many things that change it. And, you know, we talked about it, today's generation, you see on Instagram, the dunk shot and all these things. And, you know, for me, it's how about we set a great screen and we get somebody wide open for a layup? Like, that's beautiful to me, right? And the other beauty of it is it can be ugly and still be successful. So I think that's what makes it such a unique, great sport. And, you know, just, again, grew up my whole life with it and excited to be a part of it now.
With all due respect to the players who are there now, at some point you're going to get your team in there. And again, forgive that phrasing, because I know that this is your team, but mm-hmm. you're going to be recruiting and you're going to be bringing in players that you think will win for you. What would the perfect Adam Fisher team look like?
It's high IQ. I need guys that really know how to play the game. I think that helps a lot. Got to have great skill set. And everybody in our program does ball handling, passing. Everybody posts up. Everybody shoots threes. And I think that's been a unique culture shock for some of these guys that haven't done that. But we got to have skill and IQ. And you said it from the beginning. You got to play hard. You got to compete. And there's got to be a competitive fire. And I tell guys all the time, just because of how you play on the court doesn't mean you have to be like that off the court. So you got to be a gentleman. You got to be someone that's going to go to class, someone that's going to be or an ambassador for this program. But you can be mean, tough, and nasty on the court and then be Mr. Teddy Bear off the court. I'm okay with that. But we need guys with skill. I think that's the way the game's going. And you see a lot of guys play on the perimeter. So that's the number one thing for me. I'm looking at guys that have skill, high IQ, and that want to compete and play at the highest level.
What would be a successful first season for you?
You know, it's a great question. Somebody asked me that the other day. And for me, it's establishing our culture, number one. And that's such a buzzword. I hate even saying it, but right, everybody says, oh, you got to have the best culture. But we want to establish how we want to be. And I think that's important. It starts coming together. We got to win. I got to win games. I know that. And I hear all the time people sit up here and if you do this in year one, we're here to win. And we're going to try to win every single game that's on the schedule. And it doesn't matter who it is. I did say I'm going to get more excited for Big Five games because I am. I know myself. But, you know, we want to keep getting better. That's the one thing how I'm going to gauge the year. From our first day of practice to the last game we play, did we get better constantly, go up? And I don't want to take steps back, Mark. I think that's the key. Just keep climbing up that right direction.
Adam Fisher, first time head coach anywhere at any level. 39, turning 40, hometown kid comes home. All the best, brother. Thanks so much for being here.
No, it's an honor to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
Check out our friends over at Philadelphia Sports Nation, a local Philadelphia sports site covering your favorite teams across blogs and social media. PHLSportsNation.com. Philadelphia Sports Nation. PHL Sports Nation. Enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant. But no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Some of the odds available right now include Joel Embiid to repeat as MVP at plus 750. Or how about Tyrese Maxey as the most improved player, minus 110. Plus all of the game action available now. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code ZUMA. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code ZUMA. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York,
call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of Fresh 24. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts.